First 15 minutes of A Chemical League. Top four things.
Here we go.
Here we go. All right, here we go today. We show up. We run a lot of command. Probably 480-something leaks we've been part of some way or another. Some of them literally, while I'm standing there, started.
All we're trying to say is buckle in.
Yeah, we're going
to
go.
Use your pause button if you need to, because we're going to move through this one.
15 minutes here at Chemical League. Here we go. First 15 minutes. First thing you want to look at is what, Jen?
You're arriving on scene, whether you're coming from your office, you're coming from your house, wherever you're going, your goal is to get as much data as you can. If you can and you're driving in, I would get on the phone and start asking a whole bunch of questions to try and just get where is it, what is it, what's going on, who's impacted, do we have victims? So that you're just trying to gather all as much information
much data
as,
you can.
So you can start formulating a plan in your mind.
Absolutely. So that's first thing. You got to get all the data. If you mess up and you don't think it through correctly, you're going to start making errors. You got to get your data. Calm yourself down. If you've ever been with me on a live leak, I don't ever get excited. You have to think because you're getting ready to do a bunch of stuff in the next 14 minutes.
That's right. So there's a lot of data that you're going to be trying to get out to people, ask managers to help you with some different things. You're going to have different job tasks that you're doing. The biggest thing that you need to do is slow it down. That's the best advice that we can give you is at 480 events that we've run. The best advice that we can give is slow it down immediately.
So now the next one is, now you've got your data. The next thing you got to do is you got to start putting a plan together and grabbing all your stuff.
You got to get control.
People, get control. Get some people involved. Get some meters involved. Find out who's actually evacuated. Are you calling agencies? Are you calling fire? What is my, you got to get that structure start being built around you. So you can do the next 15 minutes or the next time we'll talk about, but you've got to get that structure built around you.
Yeah. So basically all of these things are going to be going on at the same time, simultaneous. So this is where you find out if your training was technical enough, customized enough, in-depth enough. You're going to find out if you train enough managers during this 15 minutes. So here's kind of what's going to be going on all at one time. You're going to be finding out, do we have victims? How do we treat them? Are we evacuating? Did we go out the right route? Did we go upwind of the leak? We're doing head counts. Do we have anybody? Are we going to allow people to do sweeps of employee welfare areas or not? Is everybody just evacuating?
Now it's freezing outside. Am I going to move to a different shelter area?
Yeah, did I figure out where I can evacuate? Is the fence line far enough or is that too close still? Just because it's the property line doesn't mean that that's evacuated far enough. If it's adverse weather, do we have a plan for that?
I got all these truckers trying to come in and I got to stop the roads.
Start blocking exits. Yep. Maybe I have to move whoever is on property, either loading or unloading. So we've got to figure that out. This is where you're going to start doing your LAPC calls, any area businesses that you've got to notify. You've got to.
Because I don't want to be the neighbor next door and find out, look out and like, why are they all evacuating? What's that coming our way?
And my HVAC now, I got to figure out if I can shut that down. We've got to maybe make calls to our regional or area hazmat. We've got to be getting gear out maybe. We've got to be doing callbacks, get the cavalry here. So we're calling corporate if we have them and other managers if we have them. Other hazmat team members potentially if we have that going on.
And this is all like at a 3 or 4 minute period.
Yep.
We're getting control of this variable. And we're starting to say, what can I really do?
When you did your arrival on site and you got all your data, if you figure out we're already over the reportable quantity, you got to be banking those phone calls. You've got to be getting on that as well. And that should be designated people that have information to give very specific data to the folks on the phone about the reportable quantities if we're over and what the scenario is, because they're going to have lots of questions for you. This is also when you're going to be doing some of your procedures and starting to pull those out. And if you've got questions, if your procedures are in-depth enough, that's going to be episode 17 on SOP, so you can find out if those have the data that you're going to need in this 15-minute period of time, or if you're going to have to scrap those and formulate a documented plan while this 15 minutes is also going on.
Yeah, so people say to me, why don't we use an SOP? Because it's not addressing all this.
It doesn't have the data in it.
You got to have the right training and the right systems to manage this, or it becomes crazy. And when it comes crazy, it just starts going. So now you're in number three. And number three, what am I going to do? Who am I going to send in? What meter am I actually turning on using? What valve am I going to control? What am I actually getting ready to do now? Now I've got all the data. Now I'm getting ready to do an action. And when I go do that action, I better have a pretty clear plan, including maybe just click a button on a computer. And that's what I'm doing. But I've got now, number three is my first attack plan.
Yeah, we've got to have. And by the way, just throwing out this disclaimer, this is our opinion. Joe and I have worked well over it in some capacity, either being on site, like you mentioned, and actually physically running command with the plant or the location, or on the phone as it's going down.
Or showing up an hour later or a few hours. I mean,
Helping out on the back end after the event has been completed. Over 480 leaks. Sanitation chemicals, all kinds of chemicals. This includes refrigeration and hazmat. So these are our opinions, but they are rooted in those experiences, live events. Yep. So take it how you want.
All right. So now you're going to get ready to go do your task. I'm going to turn off a valve. I'm going to assign these two people to go. I'm going to do these two things. Now I got to think about, all right, I've got my entire plan together. I'm ready to execute. If you do not think through that first step, that first plan of going in, it could make you be there 7 days. We got to make sure you're right and countercheck with some people around you to make sure we're good to go. Don't rely on you or me. Sometimes it's when I get my call. All the IC calls say,
when we get
we're getting ready to do this. What do you think? And I'm like, yep. And then we go.
They get through all of that stuff about evacuation and headcounts and do we have victims and managing that. And then when they give us the call, it's, hey, this is what we're thinking.
Yep.
Our SOPs maybe don't capture this. We don't have a task procedure on this. We don't have anything.
What do you think?
Because the biggest thing we don't want to do is freelance and not run it by anybody and have no checks and balances when things are crazy, because that is something that can't be defended if things go the wrong way later on.
Now we got four. Four is, to me, still within the first 15 minutes, but your fourth plan is, what am I going to do in the next hour if this goes bad? So anytime I say, yes, I agree, let's send in team one to do task one, I'm already thinking, if it does not work, just because you got data what the leak is, don't mean that's a leak.
Yeah.
Just because you got data so the problem is, don't mean that's the problem. You may get in and find out it's completely, I've fought leaks where we knew it was a compressor, and we get in, it's something completely different. So you got to back up.
Have additional things going on. It wasn't one item.
We've had five leaks at one time during some of these. So you got to prioritize then and watch that. What's that next thing you're going to do? Which includes now agencies are showing up.
Agencies are showing up. So this is the point in time where you're validating your training. Do I have enough people trained? Can I send them in? Are they medically cleared? Are their physicals and fit tests current or did they expire? Do I have enough incident commanders to start? Because now I may be into the mode of I've got a round the clock incident command where I'm transferring command after each shift because we may be camped out here for a while.
Maybe the weather's coming in. Now I got to start doing different shelters. Yep. But
Who's doing vitals? Third shift. There's no nurse here. Who's doing my vitals? Do I have someone trained? Do I have to rely on the fire department? Who?
No, when the fire department show up and or ambulance, whatever, they don't always get there in 3 and 4 minutes. Some of my areas are rural. Some of them take a few minutes. Some of them are volunteer fire. So so when they show up, they can show up 12 minutes into this and you're almost having to do like a stop and rebrief. So you're signing now. Who's going to do that? You go talk to them, explain what we're doing, because we're getting ready to go turn off these valves.
Now, the next point that I want to reiterate, too, is that depending on, like Joe mentioned, what the timeline for response is, you may have regional fire close. But what is close? So those are things that you want to talk about on the pre-planning side to figure out how long is that response going to take? Because like you
said, based on traffic,
you may
weather.
Be doing everything we just talked about on your own completely solo.
Absolutely.
And they may not be showing up for 30 more minutes if it's regional hazmat.
Absolutely. We've had-
and when they show up, it depends what your relationship is with them between whatever police agency shows up, whether it's troopers or sheriff's office or whoever.
You could have conflicts once you know.
You could possibly have conflict because a lot of that comes out of they're fearful potentially if you don't have that relationship that's a good back.
Well, they don't even know what you're doing is right. They're trying to evaluate that when they show up.
They're concerned you're incompetent. They're concerned because this is maybe scary. Maybe they've never had one before. And there's also something to keep in mind is that if you haven't had anybody that's, you know, on your hazmat team that's experienced this before, there's going to be a lot of really excited people. And so you're going to potentially have some conflict. You're going to have some hollering. There's going to be,
you're going to have managers start. This is that 13, 15 minute window is when the managers start getting nervous. Like, well, how crazy is this? Really?
How long are we going to be down? You start getting those questions. Well, how bad is it? Well, do we need to cancel the shifts? And you're still kind of almost in that investigation mode until you send that first team in and really figure out what's going on. So, you know, this is where all the conflict comes up of, well, are you really doing it right? Well, is that really correct? Well, I don't really know. And you're having to defend everything you just did.
And then you get something
great.
And
your plan.
Then you get like your meter fails.
Yeah.
Like, all right, now I'm starting to. So all of this goes on that first 15 minutes.
So all of that to say, we don't have sponsors, but we have our company. So if you want to have some more in-depth training on some of this stuff, we do have an online version where you can get some of the data on how to structure all of this out ahead of time so that you have some of the training you need, you have some of the background. That's allensafetycoaching.com. Or if you're like, you know what, you play like you practice, allen-safety.com or allen-safety.com. Yep. You can have a swing by and we can do some training.
And in the old episodes, old number 8, number 9, there are a lot of details how to do this. They're not visual because we started doing the YouTube, but you can listen to them and they're a lot more detailed.
So. Yep. So just as a reminder, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast. So yeah, you can listen via YouTube and not see our faces, but it's on there or on the podcast.
Jen's going to be speaking about some of this IAR here in a few weeks. So go see her.
March in Orlando, IAR, if you want to come ask questions, come hang out, come listen to me talk about some PSM and refrigeration stuff, IAR in March, early bird registration's going on right now, so make sure you get registered. We will have a chat. So.
All right, that's our top 4, 15 minutes, just crazy almost.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, everybody. Take care. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to Safe, Efficient, Profitable, a Worker Safety Podcast. If you're looking for more in-depth discussions or step-by-step solutions on all of the different safety and regulatory topics, please visit us at www.allensafetycoaching.com for web-based virtual coaching and training, or at www.allen-safety.com to book our team for on-site services, training sessions, to order merchandise, to learn more about our team and what services we provide in the field, or just simply to request a topic for us to cover on our next podcast. If you found today's podcast helpful and would like to support our podcast further, please help us by subscribing, liking, and sharing this podcast with anyone that could benefit from the information we cover here, as that helps us to continue to put out this free content. Thank you so much for your support.